I desire this
morning that you might notice in the selecting of the hymns it has to do with the matter of persecution of Christians. But we have the encouragement of hymn number 596, that Jesus lives and so shall I, 596. I'd like you to turn to the front of the hymnal to Roman numeral 12, please. The disciples, they asked the Lord, Lord, would you teach us to pray? And he gives them this outline for all of his disciples and Christians for today. I'd like us to stand and that we might pray together the Lord's Prayer and remain standing for the reading of God's holy word. Together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing as I read God's word in the Beatitudes of the Lord Jesus preached on the Sermon on the Mount, and it goes like this. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And then today, these are the last one, the eighth one. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Please be seated. And now if we're going to emphasize persecution, we need to think of the faithful fathers of the past, the men of God, hymn number 487, Faith of Our Fathers. Matthew 5, verses 10, 11, and 12, under the subject of persecuted Christians, and it says to rejoice. This is the eighth and the last beatitude, and I believe it's the most important, so I ask you to listen up that we might learn a little something about this for preparation, if nothing else. Now, I'm just going to rather introduce this morning. I want to spend a little more time on this one because you'll note that he expands the eighth beatitude with three verses. And each in these three verses, the matter of persecution is mentioned. And so if apparently he felt it was important enough to expand it and apply it, I think it's important enough for us to spend a little time considering it. That's what I hope to do. My first thought is, as I look at these verses about persecution for righteousness' sake, is that it's not applicable for us, that is the United States of America. You haven't been persecuted, have you? But you see, I've been saying recently, don't judge everyone else by yourself. I like that because we have different abilities and gifts and say, well, we're all the same. Yeah, well, there are some characteristics that are the same, but we're different. We're gifted differently. And I want to say this. If you do not know it, that in a lot of countries, it's a crime to be a Christian now. And so if your thought is, I don't see much relevance in telling us about the matter of persecution, for here in America, we're not persecuted, you know. But I tell you, there's more persecution than you think. If you think just simply of killing people, that's one thing. But if you think about the matter of home and factory and work and school and all these things, how that there is persecution, and there's a lot of it. I know that I have lived long enough to see people that are very close, who are the dearest and nearest to them, and they have fallouts. Some of you know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's hurtful. And you know in the past, if you've done any history, that Christians were flung to the lions. They had put animal skins on them so the lions would be more aggressive. You know in the past, if you pay any attention history class, that they were burned at the stake. And these things were awful. You know, we open up our church library and I said to you, it's small. And it seemed to be insignificant. But I think it's a loaded library. There's theological and studies and so forth there. But I'm going to take the time just to see whether there's anything about persecution that we might pick from the library. And, of course, I am familiar enough to know. Here are two books. Fox's Book of Martyrs. Let me see what else I can find. I can find a book by John MacArthur on terrorism and the Muslims, the Bible. Let's see. Oh, here, and I've read both of these. I read most of these. I read all but one. I didn't read John MacArthur. Sorry, James. But if you've never read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you're not educated. You don't know beans. I say that coldly. Here they are. You can take them out for 2 weeks or more if you talk to our librarian. Oh, my. Oh, my. This is out of date. This isn't applicable for us, this matter of the eighth and last beatitudes. Here's one that's a little while back. Oh, here's one we just ordered for the library. Singing in the Fire by Faith Cook. If you know anything about Faith Cook, she is good. She is. So that has to be put in the library before we can use that one. But these two I have read. Richard Wurmbrandt, Underground Saints, The Communist Persecution of Christians, and Tortured for Christ by Richard Wurmbrandt. I can never forget this one. Richard Wurmbrandt is a preacher in the Communist. They threw him in prison, they tortured him, they beat him and did all things because he would not acquiesce and deny Christ. And what I like about it, his horrible prison, don't compare prison today with the prison that Richard was in. Horrible, filthy, terrible. And he says, it was like a beautiful castle. Oh, come on. Can't be. That's just what I want to say to you. Do you know what this is all about? To rejoice when the Lord is with you, that it's like a beautiful castle. And then about the Muslims and the Christians, a lot of false ideas, these two. And this one by John MacArthur. I have to put him back here or else I get in trouble. That's where you put him. It's open up after the service. I take that time because I'm of the opinion that sometimes we have prejudice and say, that's not for us. I think that we need to get prepared. May I say this? This is a fact. Check out any of my relatives. My worship was politics. What do you mean? Till I was about 15 years of age, that's all I knew. We didn't go to church, and I'm not proud of that at all. But politics, and I followed it religiously. But in the old days, it was, in the Roman Empire, it was this, that everyone was to acknowledge that Caesar is Lord, government. And all you had to do was take a little pinch of incense, walk past the little idol and chuck it on and simply say in the Greek, Caesar is Lord. And you got it made. That's easy. But Christians would not do that. And they would say, Isu Curious, Jesus is Lord. And I want to tell you something. If you think that was a picnic, if you think that it'd take boldness, I got to tell you, it was life, it was death, it was loss of jobs, it was a whole thing against you, mostly taking of life. Just to say, Caesar is Lord, they said, we won't do it. Jesus is Lord. You better be thankful that you're sitting in a chair and not being harassed. But if you aren't receiving some persecution, I'm going to say this to you openly. I wonder if you really are a Christian. Well, that's pretty bold of you, based upon God's word, not my word, nor my thinking, based upon this passage. You see, there's the offense of the gospel. The Bible talks about it. The Bible says that gospel is foolishness to the Greeks. That's what we are. Foolishness to us. And it says that the stumbling blocks to the Jews. That's what the Bible says. In fact, if we're close enough, let's go to the 15th chapter, get a background. I said I was just going to open this up. Let's go to the Gospel of John. That's right near the 15th chapter. Why? I want to understand, have an understanding why persecution is still in business today. In this 15th chapter of John, I begin to read at verse 19. Now our Lord's speaking, and he's saying, if ye were of the world would love its own, his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Is this still up to date? You hang on. Verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. What's that have to do? Well, it has to do with this, that our blessed Lord, he brought forth light, he showed righteousness and holiness, and they said, we do not want that in his day. They don't want it today either. They don't want it today either. If you're truthful, if you're a compromiser, well, the people said, there's nothing to worry about. This is out of date. Hasn't anything happened to me, you'd say. I tell you, this matter of preaching, it has to do, when you get up and say everybody's a sinner, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, people are going to say, I don't want to hear that kind of talk. I come to church to find some comfort. I come to church to relax. And the preacher says we're all sinners, and if we don't know Christ, we'll die and go to hell. And said, I don't want to hear that. You never met anybody talk kind of like that? You know that if you say that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, he said, I'm the way. That means the contradistinction of all other ways. I am the only way to heaven, and I'm the truth and the life. Say, I don't believe that. He'll say, no, there's all these other religions. They're good too. Pluralistic society. But he said, no, I'm sorry. The word of God, and this is God's holy scripture, God's holy word, and it says that Jesus is the only way to heaven. They won't go for that either. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that if you tell a person that he has to turn from his sins and return and put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ or he won't go to heaven, he's going to say, well, I don't know about that. If you tell him there's a judgment day coming and there's a hell, and they say, I don't want to hear that either, but it's true. It's appointed on the man wants to die and then the judgment. And if you preach law and grace, or law and gospel, some people are going to get upset. They say, where's that preacher? Doesn't he know that it's all grace now and God loves us and that's all is important? Oh, friends, I tell you this. All the way back through this book, I have here two brothers. There's Abel and Cain. And so Cain, he killed his brother. He hated his brother. God, come on. That's the first part of the family. It's because of the fall that happened. And you have part of that fall too, and so do I. There is, the scripture says that sinners have enmity against God, the God of the Bible. You say, oh no, I know some real nice people, and they're smiley people, and oh, they're friendly, and they're educated, and they're just delight to be around. But if you start talking like this, you'll find that kindness and that sophistication and that smile and all that is going to disappear. But if you don't talk about the Lord Jesus, you'll be buddies. I wonder if you don't talk about the Lord Jesus, whether you come under this category by the authority of the Word of God, not by this preacher. Well, I know Joseph. He was hated by his brothers. I know David was hated by Saul. And I just read this Bible. I hear a lot of persecution. I read a lot of persecution. Is it still around town? Yes, it's still around. You see, if you're united with the Lord Jesus and you know him personally as your Savior, you're going to be like him. And we just read Matthew or John 15. And if you're like your master, boy, that's something. Boy, are you back in Matthew 5? I want to show you something. We just studied this. By the way, if you want to hear any of these messages on the Beatitudes, they're available. Just see our recording secretary. That's the lady right back there. I want to tell you something. Do you know this? He says in verse 9, the Beatitude about peacemakers that we just looked at. He said, you know, the peacemakers, they should be called the children of God, and the Greek is their sons of God. You're a son of God. And when somebody says, that's my boy, and they'll say, that's God's man, I can tell you that. Do people think that of you? Because it says that you become children, sons of God. I have to put questions, dear friends. And because they, Christians have a, true Christians have a different way of life, biblically speaking, and presently speaking. And Christians, they'll speak about eternal things. Sure, we'll talk about the weather. Sure, we'll talk about politics. But when it really comes down to it, look out for us. We're going to start talking about eternal things. And that's normalcy. How's it with you? Now, our Lord said something in Matthew 10 that you ought to get in mind, too, because you say, I don't know this is all up to date. He's saying some things. He told us about history, but I don't know that he's really up to date yet. What isn't up to date? The matter of persecution. Well, in the 10th chapter of Matthew, which you're real close there, let me read a couple of verses and see whether it makes any sense. Contextually, he says there, verse 32 of it, whosoever, the Lord speaking, therefore shall confess me before men, him I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven. I like that. But whoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Okay, but verse 34 and 35 is what I think. The Lord said this. He said, think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Woo! For I have come to set a man at variance with his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against a mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of their own house. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life, aren't we doing that a lot? Boy, he that findeth his life shall lose it, but he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. I know cases like that. Do you know cases like that? Mom, daughter, mom, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, father and son. A man I do business with, I called him on my time, and his heart was just so broken. And he just lives over here in the Muncie Hills, and he has a business. And he just so tore up about the whole thing. He said, my brother, he's a horrible fellow. He's causing us all kinds of family since mom and dad passed away. It's awful. And he starts telling me all the details. He said, don't be surprised if you see it. And I used to sell this man, the farmer. He said, don't be surprised if you see Channel 16 and him being cuffed and taken off to jail. He said, he is a bad one. His own brother had a wonderful dad and mom. I knew them personally. Is this up to date? Wow. You know why? Matthew 10. Why? Tell me why that is. Can you figure out why there's this trouble? It is, the problem really comes down to it. There are those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Lord's saying. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to do what he wants to do, there's going to be people, there'll be variances, problems. I must share this with you because in Matthew 5, I know I make some dumb mistakes. You don't make any mistakes, do you? You've done everything right. Some people give that impression that they do everything right. But they're fools. I'll tell you this. He says in this passage, that verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for their dumb mistakes. Oh, no. You get persecuted for dumb mistakes. I'm sorry, officer. I didn't know I was going over the speed limit. That's all right. May I have your driver's license and your insurance card? We say things. We haven't arrived. But he says, no, I'm not talking about those mistakes that you make. I'm talking about being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Righteousness' sake. That's the difference. And he said, I'll tell you this. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. See, not all persecution is for righteousness. Oh, I got in trouble. Whose fault was it? What was the trouble about? Well, I didn't do this. Don't you accept that as Christian suffering? You made the boo-boo, and it isn't because of righteousness' sake. Something for the Lord Jesus. Get it straight. Something. Well, I have an awful hard time and so forth. I'm suffering. I'm being persecuted. You mean it for righteousness' sake? Well, not really. Okay, well, let's get it straight. We're talking about suffering, persecuted for righteousness. I think I made that clear. Now, let's talk about some different sources to see whether this really is up to date. Let's go among the churches. Yeah? Well, I read about Pharisees in the Bible over and over, and Sadducees. Who in the world were they? Well, the Pharisees were the people who were really, this is the Word of God. And they were legalists. And you had to do it their way or you wouldn't get to heaven. They were religious. Who actually crucified our Lord Jesus? The religious crowd. Well, preach, now you be careful. We're in a church and we want to maintain a church. We want to do what's right. We don't want to talk about churches. Listen, there are churches that no longer treat Jesus Christ as the God-man. God in the flesh. He's not God-man to them. He's just a nice fellow. And they don't teach about the deity of Christ. They might talk about his humanity. Yes, they are churches. They're liberals. They're modernists. And they just do not have the Lord of the Bible. And the Word of God really isn't that important. Yeah, well, there's some myths in this book, and there's some mistakes and so forth. But, hey, we just go on because we're a church. I'm telling you, friends. When the Lord comes back, will he find faith on this earth? He said, well, look at all the churches. It's sad. I like what Dr. Warg said to me years ago. He was a doctor at Milton, and he's treating me for some foot problem. And I was talking about the churches, and he said, excuse me, you're a preacher. He's a nice guy. He said, I don't even consider all those churches as being Christianity. Now, Doc, that's really radical. I don't even consider them Christianity. They don't hold to Jesus Christ as God in the flesh, and they don't preach him for salvation. They'll preach heaven or hell. They just preach nice little things and entertain people, maybe even have a Christian rock group and have jazzy music and so whatever. That's what Christianity is all about. I'm telling you, if you say that's not right, you're going to say, see that guy? Don't go to his church or their church. Let's talk about Roman Catholics. Don't say about Roman Catholics. Some people are converted from Roman Catholicism, thank God. But they persecuted genuine Christians, if you want to read history. It's the largest cult in the world today. You don't want to hear that. I know you don't want to hear it. But I also tell you this, the Protestants in history, they did their job when genuine Christians too. You say, well, Protestants, they're reformers, they're all okay. No, no. They did persecute some real Christians in the past. So if we're going to talk about the Roman Catholics, let's talk about some Protestants too. I told you about families here in Matthew 10, but I know that it's awful hard for me when I used to get around plain people that they disowned their family because they didn't follow the plain way, disowned them and disinherit them, have nothing to do with them. Is that persecution? You come to know the Lord Jesus and you're excited about him, you want to talk about him, you say, whoa, wait a minute. That's the preacher's job. Huh? That's not your job. That's the bishop's job. You just quiet down. And if you say, well, I can't help it. I got to talk about Jesus. He means so much to me. And the first thing, you'll be called in. And they're going to say, listen, that's not the way we do it. We have a bunch of kids in order to propagate the Christianity. We don't We don't do any talking about the Lord Jesus, about the necessity of being born again. And if you don't quiet down, we will do this. We'll excommunicate you. And by the way, if you think that's a picnic, if you have a business and it's successful and you come to know Christ in the plainful, I'm talking about Amish and some old-time Mennonites, that they'll say, have nothing to do with that man and his business, and just freeze up him like you wouldn't believe. You guys think, oh, the black hats are such holy people. You don't even know what you're talking about. They're lost and have the same problems that you and I have. So I'm saying about the church and family, is it up to date? Is it up to date when you go to work? I worked in secular work. I'm a working clergyman. I preacher. I know what secular work is. I know that at work, if you speak up, you may be in trouble. Yes, sir. They can say, now, wait a minute. That's all right for you at your church, but we don't particularly want that being around the factory here. And there have been those, if you know anything, they've been fired because they talked about the Lord Jesus. Yes. You know that some of them have not only been fired, you know some of them have been demoted. And time for a pay raise to go up a notch, they don't select you. Hey, I've got all the degrees and so forth, all the education and wisdom to do this, and they bypass you. Hire someone outside. You might want to check it out. It may be the person does talk about the Lord and he's experiencing some persecution. And the people will say, you know, stay away from that guy. He'll get you in a corner and talk about needing to be saved. Is this up to date or isn't it up to date? You see, it makes people uneasy. You may be uneasy here this morning. It just makes me uneasy. My old buddies, do they ask me to go drinking with them anymore? I'm not invited. Do they offer me a cigarette or something? No, they don't do that if I see them. They say, let's have a party? They don't invite me to parties. You say, well, you're an old man. Well, old men have parties. And they say, you know, he doesn't talk dirty anymore, filthy. He doesn't tell anything. Doesn't talk a, you know, shady little bit. Well, so that isn't so bad, is it? Your old buddies, they don't have any time for you. Now the world. The world said in the early church, these Christians are cannibals. Why? They talk about eating and drinking of his blood and eating of his flesh. And they said, they're cannibals. Wouldn't you think that that would cause people to say, don't go to hear them, they're cannibalists. They might eat you. Did they do that? They did that. Not only that, they also said, they're atheists. They're not really genuine. I'll tell you where they're not genuine. Because they have no idols in their worship. There's just no visible gods in their worship service. They're atheists. Was that a form of first persecution? They also said, you know, that group's an immoral bunch, those Christians. They have what they call an agape feast, a love feast. And they misinterpret it completely. They're just having a nice meal together. That's what a love feast together. Christians getting together have a nice meal together. They said, they're immoral. They have a love feast. And then they'll say, I'll tell you one thing. Those Christians don't have patriotism. They don't have patriotism. They're not patriotic at all. You know, they don't say Caesar is Lord. You know, I'm going to say something here that might get me persecuted here. I have consciously listened and have a nose to smell out what's going presently in the administration that you and I are under. And I say to my family, see, once again, it's going down and down and down. What is your proof? Fox News or something? And I show them the proof. This matter of this present week where the House voted to have against hate speaking. I'll tell you, that is designed especially for preachers who will talk about homosexuality. They actually say so, to shut them down. It's all right to have same-sex marriage. It's okay. And if you speak against it, you can be arrested and put in jail. That passed the House this week. Now it is up for the Senate. Oh, I don't think that's anything to worry about. Man, we live in America. We never have any problems. And I'm seeing it going down and down. If you don't have love for your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, the indebtedness that they're having, and if you're sucking on the old government over and over again, I tell you something. You're not trusting God, you're trusting government. Caesar is your God. You just watch the news. It's going down further and further. Boy, are you pessimistic. No, I'm realistic. Second Corinthians 11. I have a few minutes yet, so just relax. Second Corinthians 11. By the way, I am all political. I'm all That means I'm not preaching against Democrats or Republicans. They're all in the same boat as far as I'm concerned. They can change like our present senator can change without any qualms. They're all the same. Oh, the Republicans are so much better. They are not. They need Christ as their Savior as well as the Democrats. Independents. What are you saying that for? Because I'm all political. That's not what I'm up here in the pulpit to do. But I am in 2 Corinthians and chapter 11. And by the way, this is only an introduction. All right. Would you look with me at verse 23? And maybe you'll get the point. In the 11th chapter. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labor, Paul speaking, more abundant in stripes above measure. Paul, tell us a little bit about persecution. These people don't really believe it. Well, he says, I was in prison more frequently, in death oft, and of the Jews five times received I 40 stripes, except one, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in peril of waters, and in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and naked, beside those things that are without that which cometh upon me daily in the care of the churches. You know what? The Lord says that to enter into the kingdom of God, you must go through many trials. I don't want them. I'm not asking. I'm not going to go out here and say, hey, all you guys, you want to fight? I'll tell you, I'll fight you because you need Jesus. I'm not going to go out and ask for to be persecuted. I may be dumb, but not that dumb. But the modern church. Oh, what are you trying to do here this morning? I want to try to prove to you that if you don't see this, that something's wrong. Now, this was given to me by the librarian, and she said, the voice of the martyrs. And this comes back from Richard Woodenbrandt. He's actually a founder of the Voice of the Martyrs. And these are two magazines. Wait, what date are they? May 2009. Three of them. You know, friends, if you want something up to date, presently, this is May 2009, you ought to read some of these things and wake up. And how Christians are being killed. And it's just say, oh, this isn't true. No, from your perspective, you may not think it's true. But oh, I tell you, what these people go through, it's a crime to be a Christian in some of these countries. You know, in the Sudan, that's in Africa, the Sudan, if you're a Christian under that Muslim religion, that they say this. They tell you that you either convert, if you're a Christian, you either convert to Muslim, Islam. If you're not, if you won't convert to it, they'll say to you that you'd better hightail out of here, because we are Muslims, and if you're a Christian, get out of here. Get out of here if you want to save your life. They're even saying if you won't get out of here, that there is this aspect that they will do this. They'll kill you. And they rape. They take and put you under slavery. Where in our world where are you getting that kind of talk? The Sudan. And you know, just to show you how we are, in Saudi Arabia, that's a wonderful place. Oh, they got all kinds of money, all kinds of oil. You know that, don't you? But if you were a Christian in Saudi Arabia, you're not allowed to worship. You're not allowed to have any services. Not allowed to worship God. But you know what? The State Department, they don't say anything about it, do they? Because what's more important than that? And what's more important than truth? The more important is the dollar. In China, this is a fact. China, do you know this? Christians, underground churches, house churches that are not authorized by the government don't have that. What is it, 104C3, Rick? Thank you, 501C3. He knows. If you don't have that tax thing, you're not authorized. We don't have it. I mean, why should I collect taxes for the government? But the point is in China. The point is in China that if you're not authorized by the government to worship, they'll do all kinds of things to you. And I think it's sad. They have this matter of putting you under hard labor. Some of us old geezers couldn't handle much hard labor, could we? Wouldn't last very long, would we? Hard labor and also slavery in China. You take children. The children of Christians are taken, and for $15, you can buy one of these kids to take care of things in your house. Servant. Where? In China. And then you got to read about India. You got to read these. Oh, do you have some good news? Oh, yeah, I got some good news. Got some good news. Well, I thank God you have some good news, preacher. I'm getting tired of this. Well, you know, North Korea and Cuba, I could talk about them. But the Lord says, I will tell you this. So you better get straight. This isn't the preacher saying, this is God saying. He said, I want to tell you something. If you're here and you think it is going to be just fine, you have your retirement thing and all made up. And I want to tell you something. Listen to this. This includes you and me. And in Matthew or Acts chapter 14, I read this verse to you. It talks about how the confirming of the souls in verse 22 of the disciples, and it exhorted them to continue in the faith. This is the work of Paul. At Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, he said, I confirmed the souls of the disciples and I exhorted them to continue the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. That's the word of God. That we will experience. To get there, it's going to be through much tribulation to enter into the kingdom of God. So you're sitting there and you say, well, preacher, you got a little wild there. I don't have any. I'm not experiencing things like that. I guess it's just the way you are. It's you. It's not the. No, no. 2 Timothy. If you're not experiencing a little difficulty. Now, the tense of this verb is the words in Matthew 5. Some of it's present tense, and some of it is that you can expect it from time to time. And I'm not taking that to show you this morning, but I will turn to 2 Timothy 3 in case some of you are sitting there and say, I don't know what he's talking about. Man, I don't have man, I don't have that problems. You don't? Maybe you need to check out 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12 and see It might be an answer. It might be an answer why everything is honky-dory with you. And this is what the Word of God says, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. What? All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Guess I have to look into that a little bit. Before you do too much, don't strain yourself. Are you living a Christ life? Secondly, are you, as we've studied already, are you shining as lights in this dark world? You like lights, and so do I. The glorious light of the gospel, are you shining as a light in your corner and in mine? When I listen to an interview on TV, and I don't do the whole lot of that, but I come to that passage in Luke 6, and I'll close with this. Well, not quite. I can't close with it yet. I got two verses, because I'm running through the scripture a bit. It's important. I want you to look quickly at Luke 6, because you hear an interview and people say, oh, wow, that's really great. And you're evangelical Christian. Oh, wow, that's good. And what did the Lord Jesus say in Luke 6 and verse 26? The Lord said, woe, W-O-E, verse 26, Luke 6, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. Oh, he's a real nice guy. Oh, man, he's a nice guy. Woe when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. And so when I hear some big shot, evangelical Christian, maybe a converted athlete or somebody, or even preachers, and they say, man, he is the world's best. He is so wonderful. And I say, well, I wonder what the Lord meant in Luke 6 and verse 11 when they speak, so men speak shall speak well of you. It looks like it's in the category of false prophets, that they don't bring any offense. Now, brethren, I don't know if friends, I won't be surprised if some of you have offended this morning. But, you know, my boss says I've got to do this, so just take it as it is. If you want to hang me, I'm ready to die, but I don't ask for that. I'm not asking for any problem. But I want to say this. Before he left, he said, I want you to teach everything I've commanded you. That's Matthew 28, 20. What, Lord? I want you to teach all things that I have commanded you. It's not an optional thing. You may pay the price. You may be persecuted. I thought you were going to end with something comforting. I am. And that is, if we're persecuted, that says, you know, oh, there are certain characteristics that you're a Christian. It may be that the pressure that's been put on you is indicative that you really do know the Lord. It may be that it's a sign to you that you really are righteous, that you have the imputed righteousness of Christ in you. It may be that Jesus is really your Lord in reality, and he's the master. You can't serve two masters. It's not money. It's not money or Jesus. It's Jesus. Well, it may be that you're not a false prophet. It may be that you're not a worldly person. It may be that you are truly, truly a born-again Christian if you are suffering persecution. Oh, but in Isaiah 43, Lord, I do need some comfort. I have had pressure put on me. Some of us know what we're talking about. We've experienced pressure and persecution. You may not believe it. We could talk a while about these individually, but that's not what I'm here to do. I just want you to see in Isaiah 43, you know, Isaiah, he said something and I thought you need to be encouraged in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. Look at that verse, starting at verse 2. Great comfort as far as I'm concerned. Yes. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with you, thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for the ransom, Ethiopian Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. I love thee. God speaking, friends. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, I am with thee. I will bring thee seed from the east and gather from the west. Listen. He said, I'm going to be with you. Hey, I like that. Those three Hebrew children. Yeah. Throw it into the fiery furnace. Yeah. And here comes the old big shot king. And he says, what's going on? He said, didn't we just put three in there? 1, 2, 3, 4. There's four in there. Oh, praise God. Dear friends, if you're upset and say, I don't want any of this that you're talking about, preacher. Well, remember, he said, if you're really godly, you will suffer some kind of persecution. Different from maybe each of us. I won't say what it's going to be the same. But you better be prepared. And remember this, if you know the Lord Jesus, he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll be with you. Isaiah said, that's the way it is. And the three Hebrew children said, they were there in that fiery furnace. God spared them, and God was there like God. The man of God was with them. We have a wonderful Savior. Don't throw in the towel, will you? Will you stick in there yet? And remember, this is what we're talking. I could talk to you about sweet things. I like to do that. But I want to say, this is what you better get ready for. You got ready financially? Some of you have. Are you ready spiritually? Do you know whether your sins are forgiven? Do you know whether you know you're going to heaven? Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you turned from your sins? Have you said, I know I'm a sinner. I've broken his commandments in thought, word, and deed. I know that he's displeased with me. And you say, I'll tell you, there's a sacrifice made for your sins. It was Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. And if you'll trust him as your only personal Savior, and trust him as you trust that chair to hold you up, trust him with all your heart. He'll give you everlasting life and you'll be born again. I tell you, I ask of you, rejoice and be glad that we have such wonderful news. Maybe this hymn will help you. Oh, it's to the tune, O Mother Jerusalem, 606. I want you to look at the words as we sing 606. Bob, you play 603. Same sentences.
Amen. section.
Pray, our Father, once again we have spent some time in singing hymns and praising you and our blessed Lord Jesus, and we desire that you would accept our worship, and would you accept it in such a way to put these things upon our hearts, and that we might be aware, be prepared, and to know Jesus Christ savingly and having experienced the new birth. And I pray, Lord, that we pray that those in our midst this morning who know not Jesus Christ savingly, that a work of grace be done in their lives. We pray also for your people and pray for encouragement. Even as that great benediction we have in your word that you put us to say, that the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, and the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace through Christ. Amen.